And welcome back to another episode of the Sisters in Christ podcast, a safe space where we discover how God's wisdom transforms everyday living. I am Pamela Ferguson, and joining me in this conversation today are my sisters in Christ, Vanessa Roll and Tamara Evans. Today, Vanessa and Tamara, we are exploring Proverbs 16. A chapter that beautifully balanced two important truths. One, our responsibility to make plans, and two, God's authority to direct our steps. Most of us have goals, dreams, carefully thought out plans. We make schedules, create budgets, pursue careers, build relationships, and envision what we want our future to look like. There's nothing wrong with planning. In fact, wisdom encourages preparation, but Proverbs 16 reminds us that while planning is important, ultimate wisdom comes from recognizing that God sees what we cannot see. Sometimes doors close that we desperately wanted open. Sometimes life takes an unexpected turn. Sometimes God's timing differs from our own. Yet Proverbs teaches that God's perspective is always greater than ours. This chapter, Proverbs chapter 16, also addresses pride, humility, self-control, and the power of gracious words. It reminds us that wisdom is not simply knowing what to do. It is trusting God enough to surrender our plans to Him and believing that His direction is always better than our own. It's that time now. Go get your coffee, get your tea, get your water. My drink options are limited. And join Tamara, Vanessa, and I as we explore what it looks like to walk confidently while still allowing God to guard our steps. Welcome Tamara. Welcome Vanessa again.
Thank you, Pam. It's good to be here, Pam.
Yes, it is. I don't know about you, but I've experienced times in my life when I planned it out. Job, career, a project. And it don't always go the way that I wanted it to. And I believe that happened with many persons. Mm-hmm. And then when you look back on that situation, you saw where God was probably protecting you, or He was preparing you for a bigger purpose. In scripture, look at Joseph. I don't think he thought when he was in that pit that he was in the plan and purpose of God. Yet God used every unexpected turn or situation to position him for His purpose. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3 says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans." How, Vanessa and Tamara, does inviting God into our plans change the way we approach decisions?
Well, first, I believe it removes anxiety of outcomes. Mm-hmm. When we invite the Lord to be master of our plans, we're saying, "Lord, whatever unfolds, I am comforted and I am, not anxious or overly frightened about the outcome, what the outcome would be, because I understand that God, who loves me, who cares for me, who is in control of all aspects of life and things that I cannot see, mm-hmm. is the captain of the ship."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. The Bible says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your paths. Mm-hmm. That's the NIV. No matter what we do, we are the Lord's. Mm-hmm. We are not our own. And so when we plan out our days in terms of what we want to do for the day or for mm-hmm. the week, we got to recognize that we are not our own. Mm-hmm. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, mm-hmm. do all to the glory of mm-hmm. God. And so you have to ask the Lord, Lord, is this what you would have me to do mm-hmm. this week? Mm-hmm. Where would you have me go? Mm-hmm. Who would you have me minister to on a daily basis? And if we take each day of our lives like that, putting it before the Lord, before we walk into our day, mm-hmm. we will find that the Lord will lead us to some unique opportunities mm-hmm. as well as experiences where we can mm-hmm. be a blessing to others.
Mm-hmm. And it also gives us a peace mm-hmm. when circumstances change. You know, I've said this before, I can be rattled when things don't go, not necessarily exactly the way that I planned them, but when it's thrown off, you know, you can get frustrated. But when we make that effort mm-hmm. to invite God into that situation, we are releasing control over it. And so now I say sometimes, not with everything, but for most of the times, if something doesn't work out the way that I thought it should or I plan for it to work out, I say, well, God, I feel that you're directing me here. And so I'm trusting you for the next steps. There's a peace.
Yeah.
Now, not all situations, because like a couple of weeks ago, someone said something to me and depression just went to the head. And I just probably about 15 minutes in the conversation, I start dialing a number. And it all worked out in the end because the person thanked me for presenting it. But after I was done, I said, boy, God, this is not the way that this is supposed to go. I was supposed to take some deep breaths, be calm, and ask God to direct me. I didn't do that in that situation. But I think for the most part, when we invite him in, it is a peace that if this thing isn't working out the way that I think that it should work out, then God has a bigger plan, a better plan, and I'm just leaving it over to him. And you know what I found out? It all works out.
Romans 8:28, mm-hmm. all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Yeah.
I was talking to my mom this morning about that scripture when Abraham was taking his son to be sacrificed. And the son asked, you know, mm-hmm. where's the sacrifice? And he said, God would make a provision. And I said, that is complete trust.
Yes.
That's just how it is when we plan. When we move about doing what we say or what we believe is the will of God, and mm-hmm. even when we don't see it, we have to trust that he is in the midst. God doesn't ask us to sacrifice nobody's lives nowadays, right? But think of that thing you hold so dear to your heart. It has to be this way. I have to move in this direction. This is the career. This is the person I want to be with. This is the job that I want. God is saying to release it over to him and trust him with it mm-hmm. and watch him work it out for us.
Yeah, and what that forces us to do is to take it to the Lord in mm-hmm. prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 25:4-5 says, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. So it's a full dependence upon him, not dependence upon ourselves or our abilities, our skills. And many times we can do that. Sometimes I have to reel myself in and be reminded, this is not of your talents, your skills, mm-hmm. your ability. That's where pride sneaks mm-hmm. in. Prayer puts us in a place of humility and says, mm-hmm. I cannot do this by myself. I need the Lord to help me. In John 15:5, Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. For without me, you can do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Mm-hmm. So that puts us in a place of full reliance and dependence on the Lord to lead us and help us in making our decision. We're going to plan,
mm-hmm.
Many are the plans in a man's heart, mm-hmm. but it's the will of God mm-hmm. that will prevail. And as believers, we need to be reminded of that so mm-hmm. much mm-hmm. because there's so many areas of our lives we're planning for.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We're planning for retirement,
yeah.
right? We're planning for trips that we need to go on. We're planning for business ideas, or we're planning for upcoming event. Whatever, it's always a planning or something. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we don't put God in a compartment and say, this is the only sphere that I will ask you to govern or
everything.
Work. Mm-hmm. It's all mm-hmm. things in all areas at all times.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. You mentioned pride. And, you know, one of the recurring themes throughout scripture is how pride can quietly enter into our hearts. And there was a scripture that I had heard a lot of growing up, but in recent times I went to it. About King Uzziah. Mm-hmm. They said, as long as King Uzziah sought the Lord
granted him success.
He got success. Mm-hmm. And I read that scripture in recent time, and that was such a blessing. King Uzziah's success increased when he trusted God initially.
Mm-hmm.
But pride got into the way.
Mm-hmm.
And after he got so big, he became prideful
mm-hmm.
and he started to fail. So sometimes pride doesn't show up as arrogance, but it appears as refusing advice
mm-hmm.
or insisting that we are right or believing we do not need God's guidance.
Mm-hmm.
In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Tamara and Vanessa, why does pride often cloud judgment?
Well, some of the times pride and haughtiness, thinking that you know better than God or you know better than other people, can cause you to make decisions that are not good. I know, for an example, King David. King David allowed Satan to provoke him to number the people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in Chronicles 21. And he told Joab and the elders, go and number the people. And Joab, his general, said, why do you want to do this thing? He said, aren't all the people the Lord's? Mm-hmm. Why do you want to bring trespass on Israel by numbering the people? But because King David was the king,
mm-hmm.
his will prevailed,
mm-hmm.
right? And he went and they numbered the people, and the thing displeased the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Lord smote Israel. And over 70,000 people died mm-hmm. because David did this thing. He didn't take the advice of someone who was less than him, mm-hmm. Joab,
mm-hmm.
but someone who was giving him good advice.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the plague came, David had to go back before the Lord and repent
mm-hmm.
and say, Lord, forgive me. I caused all these people to die,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so he said, I acted foolishly.
Mm-hmm.
But he had the opportunity, if he had listened to Joab, he wouldn't have made that prideful decision
mm-hmm,
in numbering the people. And so we have to be careful. Sometimes, not because we are in authority,
yes.
means that we can't listen to those who are under us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's the same thing with King Uzziah. He was king, and he was told not to go into the temple to burn incense. He said, "Me, I'm king. I should be able to go wherever I want and do whatever I want to do." And for that, he was struck down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own mm-hmm. eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord has given us this means of wise counsel to assist us in making great decisions based on his word, but not only that, to protect us from risk
mm-hmm.
that we would often take if we didn't have people to, I would say, tell us that way is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And even with the children,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's why the Bible says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but mm-hmm. the rod of correction will drive it out. Correction comes in counsel
yes.
and in the wisdom that comes from the Lord, and it diverts us from trouble. But when we decide that we will ignore counsel because we can't recognize the pride in our own hearts, then there are consequences that we will face.
Mm-hmm. And it also makes us overestimate our abilities. Vanessa, you spoke about it. When we think we have all the answers and we don't need the advice of anyone, particularly someone that we consider to be lower than ourselves, we can learn from any and everyone. Anyone. I remember in university, it may seem simple, but I always remember this. In university, I was in our student union building, and we have some friends, we were in there and all picked up something. And there was this guy who was with us. He was standing in the front of the line and he was at the cash register. And so he turned around and he said, "Pam, I could get that for you." And I said, "No, thank you. That's fine. You know, I'm an independent person. Mm-hmm. I just like to, I don't want anybody to feel like they are doing anything for me." That's how I felt. And I said, he said it again. He said, "Pam, I can get that for you." I said, no, thank you. That's fine. I can get it myself." And so the cashier, she said, "When someone is kind to you, just say thank you." And I looked and smiled and I pushed the stuff over to him and I said, "Thank you." Mm-hmm. That was a learning experience mm-hmm. there from a cashier. I didn't go there to learn that, but I learned that and I took that with me throughout. And a couple of weeks ago, there was someone who was doing a service for us and she was so diligent. She was being paid to do the service, but she was so diligent, mm-hmm. I decided to give her something extra. Mm-hmm. And I gave it to her and she said, no, you don't have to do that, Miss Pam. You don't have to do that. And I gave it to her again. She said, no. I said, "Someone once told me before, when someone is kind to you, just say thank you." Mm-hmm. That's it. Just mm-hmm. say thank you. So, and I think there's so much that we can learn if we open up our hearts and if we humble ourselves, and we can mm-hmm. learn it, like you say, Vanessa, from a child. Mm-hmm. But I feel that people, most of the time, who are in authority get tripped up by pride yeah. a lot yeah. because there's this pressure to believe that I should know everything.
Yeah, God gives grace to the humble and he resists the proud. So I don't want to be on the side where God is resisting me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know what it is to be resisted by the mm-hmm. Almighty God? Mm-hmm. I want to be where I'm receiving grace. Mm-hmm. And that means I have to walk in humility. Mm-hmm. So as believers, we need to examine our hearts and see what God is saying to us mm-hmm. concerning, because it's subtle
yeah.
and it's hidden. We mm-hmm. don't recognize it. Mm-hmm. And so we need to pray, "God, expose the pride in my life. Let me see it."
Right.
And I know sometimes he shows it to me and I'm like, "What?" That was not the intent.
Right.
But he shows me clearly mm-hmm. that's where your heart is.
Yeah, yeah.
And see, that's why, you know, man looks at the outward appearance and action,
yeah.
but God looks at the intent.
Mm-hmm.
So you think you're doing good and you're operating in righteousness. That's mm-hmm. what man can see.
Right.
But God said, what's the intent behind your giving?
Mm-hmm.
What's the intent behind you wanting to plug into that particular mm-hmm. ministry? What's the intent of you? God examines that.
The motives, yes.
The motives yes. behind it
mm-hmm.
that others will not see.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, as his being our father, a loving father, and we his children, find means to correct those hard conditions mm-hmm. that flare up in our lives mm-hmm. from time to time and puts us in our place,
yeah.
as we would say, because he does not want us to. That's not Christ-likeness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So anything that is not Christ-likeness, he is going to ensure that he prunes that away.
And I think one of the ways that we can fight against pride is to acknowledge God, particularly for the mm-hmm. believers. Whenever you do something and, you know, people give you accolades and they celebrate you, even if you don't do it verbally, in your heart, acknowledge that it was because of God, that you were able to do what you did. Don't lose focus on that, because when we take the focus off God and put it onto ourselves, we are opening up our hearts and the door for pride to come in. And like you mentioned, Tamara, it's subtle. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come like in arrogance. Oh, I'm not arrogant, so I'm okay. But when we start thinking of ourselves highly, that more highly than we ought, and thinking it is me, I did that. Mm-hmm. I work hard. I put in the time and mm-hmm. I deliver that. That's how pride comes in.
Sounds mm-hmm. like Nebuchadnezzar.
Yep.
I. Or the rich man in the Lazarus parable. I.
I don't know if you've ever had a situation, ladies, where someone spoke into your life and it impacted you for that day, or even maybe for a lifetime. Maybe it's a teacher or your parent, a friend who offered help when you needed that assistance. Or maybe someone spoke into your life and you remember that it was painful, and you remember the damage that that word that they spoke did to you. Solomon reminds us in Proverbs that our words are never neutral. Growing up, I don't know if you remember the nursery rhyme, sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but words can never harm me. They do harm. Mm-hmm. And we probably sang it because we were hurt and we just mm-hmm. used that song as an escape. Words have the power to heal mm-hmm. or to wound. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24 says, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet mm-hmm. to the soul and healing to the bones. Why does encouragement, Tamara and Vanessa, carry such powerful impact?
I believe that when we speak words of life and compassion, we build up the inner man of a person. We give them hope. Our words should be sweet like honey. And even in correction, the Lord encourages us to correct in love.
Yeah.
Our goal is not to wound the spirit. Mm-hmm. It's to point out, correct, and bring healing.
Yeah.
And that's what our loving Father does. He's a mm-hmm. Christ is a wounded healer.
Yeah.
And so we should be like our Savior in the way we relate to others. And, you know, even when he rebuked Peter, he rebuked Satan working through mm-hmm. the words of Peter.
Mm-hmm.
He understood mm-hmm. who was behind the person saying the words.
Mm-hmm.
And as I get more mature in the faith, that's what I'm doing too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't take what people say to say them,
mm-hmm.
because I recognize there's an emotion attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the enemy would attach themselves to that emotion, whether it's envy, whether it's jealousy, whether it's a hurt feeling. Mm-hmm. And so when they respond, the enemy is using that bitterness
yes.
to respond. And I pray for mm-hmm. them.
Because we wrestle not against
flesh and okay. blood.
Mm-hmm.
So we understand early in our Christian walk that, And this is to encourage even young people. Do you understand that there's an enemy that is trying to discourage you, to distract you, and to take you off course of God's plan for your life through the words people say on your workplace, in ministry, things like that? Be very spiritually alert. And understand that it's not the person themselves, but the enemy behind the thought, the enemy behind the words that is trying to derail you. And once you understand that, then you know I need to be praying
mm-hmm.
this situation through and present this person before, especially if you know the person is a believer,
mm-hmm.
that the Holy Spirit would reveal to them the situation, and that there can be. And that's why there's a lot of strife and disunity in the church, you know,
yeah. mm-hmm.
because people say things and wound the heart mm-hmm. And then there's unforgiveness and bitterness that flows from it.
A kind word may be exactly what someone needs in a difficult situation, right? Mm-hmm. In a difficult season. And sometimes, even as parents, we have to be careful with our words to the young people in our homes. Because as a parent, you know, you think your job is to correct and to chastise and to point out weaknesses or failures. And sometimes we do that so much that the child gets discouraged and give up. But when we are the child's cheerleader, the chief cheerleader as opposed to the chief critic, we can see children excel because we are putting life into them. I was reading something that told about a story of a mother who left her son and daughter at home for a few minutes while she ran errands, and she left some ink bottles out, I mean, accessible to him. And he took this ink and he made a mess, but he was creating a picture of his sister. And when his mother came home, his mother saw the mess, but ink everywhere. But she found a picture and she said, "Oh, wow, how beautiful. This is a picture of Sally." And she praised the boy and she kissed the boy. Now, that boy said from that day, he recognized that he could become a painter. Because his mother encouraged him and gave him words of affirmation. Now, most of us, we were to say, "That's that mess you make. Now, look here.
And don't let it be white so far."
Okay. With ink everywhere? No, but she encouraged his little heart. And by encouraging him, he went on to become a painter because she was not critical when she could have been. She just saw the opportunity to speak life into her son.
It's so important to be an encourager. And when we are encouraging, we are reflecting Christ's love. We are sharing his love in the earth. Tamara, close us out in prayer, please.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you as the sovereign God who directs our steps and works all things according to your perfect will. Forgive us for trusting in our own wisdom and teach us to walk humbly before you. By your grace, guard our hearts from pride. Help us encourage others with our words and produce in us the self-control that reflects Christ. Teach us to trust your providence, submit to your leading, and find our confidence in you alone. May our lives bring glory to your name and reflect the wisdom of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.